This is Mark chapter 4, verses 21 to 25. Jesus went on, "Does anyone bring a lamp home and put it under a washtub or beneath the bed? Don't you put it up on a table or on the mantle? We're not keeping secrets, we're telling them. We're not hiding things, we're bringing them out into the open. Are you listening to this? Really listening? Listen carefully to what I am saying, and be wary of the shrewd advice that tells you how to get ahead in the world on your own. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. Stinginess impoverishes." That's from the Message translation.
Thank you. And so I really want to start this sermon by asking all of you to listen. Really listen attentively. Because it's when you hear and internalize God's truth that you can change. But we can bring messages, and I mean, I think the saying goes, you can bring a horse or a calf or something to the water, but you can't make a drink. So a lot of this sermon is based on your response to this message. Just as a quick reminder, last week Sean talked about a parable in chapter 4, and this parable was about different seeds and about seeds and different soil conditions. And there are two soil conditions that I would like to just quickly just talk about, and then from there we will move on. I think the worries of this life can be something that totally stop us from growing. And those worries, that circumstances, is something that make us move away from God. And that, in a way, is practical atheism. You say that I will not surrender this. I choose to worry about this. This thing that's troubling me, that's eating me up inside. That, in essence, is causing you not to grow towards God. But because you are saying that I need to find the answer to this, this is worrying. You're allowing it to consume you. It pulls you away from God. The other thing that pulls us away and that really causes us to die is not grow, is actually just materialism. The promises, the empty promises of this world. If you have this, then you will be happy. Instead of finding our identity in Christ and the promise that he has in the kingdom of God for all of us who believe in him. The last one I love, and it's just that the seed that falls into the good soil will grow. It accepts the word. And then, after it accepted the word, it will grow and produce a crop. And it's with that in mind that I start this sermon today. May you be inspired by this sermon. Inspired means, literally, to breathe in. And it's if you take in, breathe in God's truth, that is that internalization, that taking in, that produces a crop. Or in other words, that is when you can give what you have received. In South Africa, there's the saying that goes, close hands cannot give anything, but they can't receive either. And in psychology, I think people say, hurt people hurt people. If you have a lot of hurt, the only thing that you will give is hurt. If you are depressed, you will make everyone around you depressed because that's what you have within you. And this piece of scripture, I almost want to say what it's gift wrapped in, is this very truth. But Jesus goes, and I think when I first read, I felt like this is a bit of a random piece of scripture, isn't it? But very true to Mark, he sandwiches these five verses between two parables about the kingdom of God. And as he sandwiches this text between these parables, he's actually emphasizing the importance of us understanding and God's heart in us understanding the kingdom of God. And so in Jesus' day, the understanding was that you are responsible before God and before people for what you do with what you have been given in life. So what you have been given and what you do with what you've been given, you will one day be held accountable. And I think that's still very true today for all of us. We say that to our kids, and I mean, you say that to people around you, and it's pretty much a part of our culture too. So it's from this standpoint that Mark writes, are but Jesus teaches his audience, and it's a big crowd. Jesus uses two very common household props, and I tried to get the second one, but I couldn't, so now you just have to bear with a little wooden basket here with me. But Jesus uses two very, very common household items to present to his audience his message. The first is a very, very plain and simple little lamp. This is what provided the light in Jesus' time in any house. People would have had this. It's made out of clay. You have a little string in here, and you fill it with olive oil. And you set it alight because the string acts like a little straw, and you have light. And then you place it on a lampstand. And by Jesus presenting two negative questions, wrapping this in a negative question, you don't hide it, do you? No, you don't. If you have a lamp, you want to provide light with it. Duh. But then Jesus also uses another very, very common item. And it's a woven little basket. Well, not really little. It can hold up to 2 gallons of dry ingredients. Some books say that the basket could also be used when grape harvesting happened. You know, it harvested, held the grapes. It was used to measure how much, what's the quantity of what we just have here. Or, you know, dried goods or sometimes even bread. But I don't have that, so I just have this little wooden thing. But it will represent that. And so, as I'm preaching and you look at this, just be reminded that Jesus came to the level of his audience to make a godly, to reveal, actually, to pull back the curtain, rather, let me rather say that, God's truth, that he doesn't want people to sit in the darkness and wonder. Many, many rabbis back then, many teachers of the law said that there are certain secrets about the kingdom of God. And we will not know those secrets. They are hidden away. And only some, perhaps the truly religious, will come to find those truths. But Jesus says no. No, you do not hide something if your original goal and purpose for that something is for it to bring light, for it to be made revealed to people. Sorry. And God is generous, and he gives abundantly, more than we could ever think or imagine. And when he is telling us all about the kingdom of God, that we are saved, we're not condemned, that we are loved, not hated, that you are good enough, your name is forgiven, your name is beautiful, your name is set free, that is how the kingdom of God works, and he wants everyone to know it. And what you know, how much you receive from this teaching of God, that's how much you can give. And if you only take this much, why would you be given more? Because you're not going to go out and make the message spread that all could see it. Jesus' ministry was out in the open, and we know it. So remember, what you have is what you can give. And my question to all of us is, what do you have? What are you giving? What have you learned about the kingdom of God? What do you know God has spoken over your life? Because some of us have been sitting in pews for many years. And the question is, have you listened? Have you really listened? Have you taken the abundance with which God is giving you the truth so that you may know you are not supposed to wonder? You're supposed to know. But then I could stand back and say, like I always say with any sermon, up to a point you can do all the research, but then so what? So what? So what? It's a little oil lamp. We have electricity. We're way better off. So what? It's a measuring bowl. I have measuring cups. They're fabulous. This is the point. This is a broken, broken world, and we all know it. We see it at home, at work, at church. And it affects us all. It affects us all sometimes so much that the brokenness becomes our identity. It's better for us, we think, to cloak ourselves in the brokenness instead of throwing it away and allowing the simple truth, because this text is very simple, the simple truth of God to shed light and give us a new identity, to claim the truth of God's kingdom for our life. And if you listen to what Sean is preaching on, you will learn even more. Because it's chapter 4 is all about the kingdom of God. It's supposed to be made known. Queen Elizabeth said in her Christmas speech of 2016 that we as individuals cannot, and I'm paraphrasing, cannot end wars or stop injustice from happening. But we cumulatively as a group can do good, and it can make a big impact and bring great change. Mother Teresa said that we are not all called to do great things. But when we do little things with great love, we will change the world like Jesus did. Think about his ministry. He is a great example for this. Yes, he died on the cross, and that was God, and we cannot do that. But his everyday life during his ministry was doing a ton of little things to people that were outcasted, hated, despised even. And so Jesus became hated, despised, and outcast. Jesus was poor. His parents never thought that they would become great. Jesus traveled a lot, so he couldn't put real, like, roots down, if you want to put it that way. But it's funny, though, because he didn't travel real far, like he didn't travel the world. He was busy with the Jews. But Jesus was maligned. He was hated, even. And he was blamed for things he never did wrong. And today we can say that billions and billions of people over the world and over the generations found their light in Jesus Christ, in his ministry, and therefore their life has purpose, because the chains that bind us all and are so easy to cling on to, these people and all of us should realize that it doesn't apply anymore. King George, and this is the last royal thing I'll quote. King George said in his speech before the Second World War, a man asked, "Give me a lamp so that I can go into this coming darkness." "No," said the man. "Rather put your hand into the hand of God. He is the light of the world and will lead you through the darkness." And this is where the sermon is ending. And it becomes your take on this that matters. I have a bunch of sticky notes that I put on the table there. Actually, Sean did that. He's a great helper. And the cross is over there. And I think that we can do ourselves, and this includes me, and this includes Sean, and it includes all of the deacon board and every single person sitting in this pews that might think I'm not important. This includes you, because you form a part of this body. And you can make a great difference. But it starts with your internalization and understanding of this text that will help you to move forward and live a new life. This is sometimes difficult because it means that negative habits need to be broken. However, this is what you should do with the sticky notes. If there is something that you feel you need to leave at the cross, and you feel too ashamed or too embarrassed to even write it down, just put an empty sticky on the cross. Stand there until you know you have surrendered it. And you have left your own practical atheism behind. You are leaving this up to God. That anger, bitterness, resentfulness, whatever it is, I don't know. But you do, because you've been carrying it, and it's really tiring, isn't it? But then, you and I also know that God has spoken over your life. Truth. He has called you loved and forgiven where others said you are guilty and you will never be loved. You're ugly. So if that is the truth you carry, whatever the word is, whatever it is that you know about the kingdom of God that has spoken life and meaning into you, write it down and put it on the cross. Because as much as the cross is there to carry our burdens, to surrender, the cross is also there to remind us that we can thank the one who has taken all of this upon himself so that we can have a new life in Jesus. Wentworth, I really pray for you. I pray that you will see that you have a new identity in Jesus. And that the love we have for one another can make a very big impact in a very small community. You are loved, and God is speaking to you today, but it's up to you if you listen, really listen.